everyone. Thanks for joining in with Love Talk with Kira, where we discuss the 50 ways to love, the do's and don'ts of dating in today's era, where we also discuss sex fetishes and going deeper. So stay tuned. Welcome back to Love Talk with Kira, where we discuss the 50 ways to love, the do's and don'ts of dating in today's era, where we also discuss sex fetishes and going deeper. So today's episode is episode number 89, and I wanted to take a quick minute and say thank you to each and every one of you for your continued support. I hope you're having a wonderful and fabulous holiday season. Even if you're alone, you know what? You're never alone. I always say God is with you, or if you're not a believer in God or whatever culture you are, someone is there with you spiritually. Okay? You're never alone, so don't feel sad, okay? Always know I'm with you in the back of your mind, I should say. Okay? Think of me being there beside you, telling you it's okay. You're going to be all right. You can get through this, okay? It's all right. It's okay. You can get through this. Now, today's episode specifically is 89, and it is, were you taught to not talk about sex to your partner? Okay. Were you taught to not talk about sex to your partner? One more time. Were you taught not to talk about sex to your partner? Okay. Doesn't matter what type of partner it is, male, female, it doesn't matter what gender you are. The fact of what we're discussing is, were you actually taught not to discuss sex or talk about sex with the partner that you're with, or any partner if you've been with more than one? Okay. Now, this is important because when I said more than one, because some people have only been with one, they get married when they're very young, and that's your first sexual experience. And neither of you knows what you like, what you dislike, how to discuss sex, or how to say you don't like what's taking place, and you don't know if that's how it's supposed to be. So then a lot of times that spirals off to where let's say the male is doing, you know, something with the female. Say you're having intercourse and the female is not really stimulated at all because she wasn't mentally prepared or stimulated to begin with. So it was just like the male is just kind of doing his thing, right? Okay, so what happens there is a lot of people have no idea that their partner doesn't like what they're doing, and the partner has no idea how to explain it to their partner because they're either embarrassed or they were taught not to explain it. They were taught not to talk about it, or that's a sin, you know, or that, you know, you're going against your religious beliefs if you discuss it. The thing of it is you've got to learn to be as open as possible with your partner as you can be when it comes to intimacy and sexual intercourse, of any type of sexual intercourse. If something is very painful, you've got to explain that it's very painful to your partner, and then you guys take the proper, you know, initiatives to make it not so painful, okay? Whether that's, you know, maybe having intercourse slower, or maybe putting different lubrications on. You know, maybe somebody is dehydrated or something and isn't as lubricated, or maybe you're a different age, you're not as lubricated anymore. Or if you're using a condom, or you're, you know, taking different steroidal medications, maybe things are making the experience not as pleasant as it actually is supposed to be, okay? Like, you two are supposed to be connecting on such a deep level that it's mind-blowing, okay? It is, and it should be. The thing of it is if you can't discuss what it is that's not going well with your partner, and them not being over-offended or offended at all, really, and just say, you know, I don't like that. I don't think I can do that, you know, and okay, I wish you could, but whatever. And then come to a compromise of what you can do and what you won't do. But put your foot down, both of you, and discuss and go over that. That's really important. It's called communication. It's going deeper, like I said, into the conversation and into the intimacy that you both are sharing with one another. It's taking you to another level that's only going to create more positivity in the long run in your relationship. Now, in the conversation, in the midst of the conversation, you know, it could get a little heated. Some people might get a little upset because of what's stated in the moment of the conversation. But what's important to remember is that it is speaking your truth in a positive manner so that you guys can connect intimately on the deepest level possible, basically, okay, in a positive way. So both of you know what you're not going to do, what you are going to do. Now, sometimes people don't know what they're not going to do until they try it, but I'm going to guarantee you that sometimes if people try certain things and they say, okay, because their partner's like, just try it, you know, they may come back and bite you in the butt, and your partner may resent you after that, or you may resent your partner because they accepted your wish that was not appropriate, okay, or conducive to an actual relationship type of situation, but you coerced your partner. So I explain to people to be really careful what you're wanting your partner to take initiative to do and to listen to you. I always tell the partner to listen to your own intuition. Like, if you are not willing to do certain things, then don't. And I know in one of my other podcasts, I explain, listen to what your partner is asking you to do. And that's important too, because sometimes people are actually asking you to do something very simple, but they're explaining it incorrectly. So you are taking it the wrong way and they're not explaining it the right way. And so they're like, heck no, I'm not doing that. And then they're like, why not? Blah, blah, blah. And you guys get an argument. But what was really meant to have been said was something completely simple, but the partner didn't know how to explain it. And if they had explained it the proper way, the other partner would have been like, oh, okay, sure. Absolutely. That's my point. So it's important for everyone to understand that when you are dating, in a relationship, married, what have you, or you're engaged, whatever part of it you're in, and you're actually sleeping with someone, these are important conversations to have with your partner, because you might, even when you're in the act, okay, you can always play like games with each other. You can role play, and role playing is great. But at the same time, your partner has to be comfortable with what you're role playing. So don't be like, this is my favorite role play, and if you don't do it, you're out of here. Well, you know what? Then screw you. She's out of there, or he's out of there, and you're a moron. Okay? That's how that works. Now, you're SOL, and that's your fault. You're bad. Go find someone else that wants to be stupid. You know what I mean? And not communicate and be like self-centered, sabotaging Jack Munch. You know, that's what I would like to say. And that's what you get. Okay. So expect when you treat others negatively, that it's going to come back to you a millionfold. Okay. So the next person you come across is probably going to do the exact same thing to you that you just did to them. That's called karma. Anyway, people manifest things on accident all the time. They don't want to, but they do it because they're so negative. Like, when you're such a negative person every day, you wake up and you're pissed off and you're upset every day, all day long, about everything and everyone else. Usually, your life continues that cycle of negativity because you can't get out of it, or you refuse to get out of it. Or then you've like caused so much trauma and drama around you that everyone else is coming back at you now. And then you're constantly going back at them, and it's just a constant battle. So what you do from that standpoint is you discuss a couple things and then you remove yourself from the negativity and you stop the cycle. You stop the cycle. Not everyone else stops it. You do. For yourself. Not for everyone else. For yourself. And then you get to start moving forward again in a positive manner as long as you remain positive. You get to wake up every day and start a new day in a positive manner. It's up to you. Regardless of how you feel, what you have to do that day, what happens that day, you know, any of it. Just be grateful that you get to wake up, you know, because there's a lot of people that don't get to. And I also work in healthcare for over 25 years, and I get to explain, I have seen people pass away in front of me for years, and it never, ever, ever, ever gets easy. Ever. It's never, ever going to be easy. It's horrible. My family members, pets, everybody, strangers, it doesn't matter. It's never easy, okay? We have the luxuries every day to wake up and breathe. So if you have a partner to share that with, that's even better. You know, wake up every morning and be thankful you have that person next to you, because in a flash of a second, they could be gone. And I want people to really realize that. Sometimes people wish they were gone, and then be careful what you wish for, because then they're gone. Or you mistreated them and you acted like they were nothing. Okay, you didn't have your conversations that you needed to have in the simple stages that you were going through, whether dating, you know, like I said, in a relationship, engaged and married. Maybe you were fixing to go through a divorce, you got separated, and you didn't have these conversations, and your sex life was horrible. And your friends over here going, man, you know, you don't have sex. When's the last time you had sex? Like a year ago? What? And they're like, what? Okay, now this is another thing. You need to have sex with your partner. Now, not everyone can have sex with a partner. Not every partner is capable of having certain types of sexual encounters. Sometimes people's like genital areas don't work anymore. They got into an accident. They're on medications. There are people that do drugs. They can't get it up anymore. After a couple of years of doing certain drugs, people can't get it up. And I mean, they can't. They lose all sensations and it's over. All because they chose a drug and all these other stimulants over themselves. They had no self-love for themselves. So they allowed themselves to be taken over by other substances. Now their partner isn't getting to have sex with them. And their partner's like, I don't think so. You're not going to choose this other substance over me in our relationship. I'm going to go find a new one. One that's going to give me what I need. Not just what I want, but what I actually need. Okay, those are necessities in a relationship. I know in marriages, stuff like that, to deepen the intimacy also is not just sexual, but that is a big part. Eventually, one day, people aren't going to be able to have sex. But you know what? It takes a long time for that to happen. We live to be 100 and something years old nowadays. So, okay. that type of sexual arousement and mental stimulation and physical stimulation, emotional, it doesn't stop at the ages that a lot of people that are younger think it does. It actually does not stop. Okay. Your body functions may slow down or certain ones may stop working. But the arousal part and the sexual stimulation is still there. There are many ways to have sexual encounters and intimacy with your partner without doing it in different ways. But the thing of it is you have to be able to talk about that with your partner so that you can make that happen. Does that make sense? So that is a challenging part, because a lot of us, when we're young, you know, where you're born with no information at all. So when you're babies, you're taught by your parents, you're taught by your friends and your surroundings. If you went to school, who was there, who was surrounding you at that point? Who were your like mentors that you would, your coaches, your life coaches, sport coaches, what have you? If you're in college, who were the people around you, your teachers and mentors and all that good stuff as well? Then your mentors when you get out of college and you're actually, or you learned a skill, what have you, a technical skill, and you're out there and now you're leading the pack, you know, and who are you teaching? Well, hopefully you're teaching people to be someone of upstanding substance, okay? Just like you wish you had teaching you, right? Now, there are some people out there that didn't get to experience that and they're very upset and it comes back later. They lash out at other people and hurt other people. And that's why we all say hurt people actually hurt people, because they're not healed. They're also not able to talk about what it is that hurt them. Some people may have been sexually assaulted as children, and they're not able to talk about that to their partner, which their partner is the one that they should be able to talk to about, and it's going to back them up and support them in healing throughout that process. Now, your partner's not there to heal you as a person. They're there to support you through the healing process. Now, can some of your partners probably heal you if they have the knowledge? Sure. But it's still not their job to do that. And no one should be forcing anyone to do something. I think when people want to heal and discuss things, they will. Everyone has their own specific timing. And I think that's important for everyone to understand and not to judge. At the same time, everyone who's not healing and is taking their time to not heal needs to understand that your partner or partners don't need to stay with you because you're pissed off and hurt all day long and are pissed and mad, and you're affecting them in a in their world in a negative way every day because you're not healed. Does that make sense? So they may leave you because you're hurt and you're hurting them every day by explaining how hurt you are every day and not willing to forgive and move forward in life. Does that make sense? By healing. That's important and key. People don't know how to discuss these certain things with each other. And if they did, the whole world would be like so different. Okay, it'd be amazing. Most of us would get along. Most of us would want to hang out with one another. Most of us wouldn't be, broken, sad, depressed. There are so many people that want to commit suicide that are not on drugs, you know, or not born with mental health issues, you know, from the beginning that have to take medication. A lot of them have to take medication, and that helps them, you know, control that type of mindset. Does that make sense? Others that don't have to take medication and weren't born that way just become depressed because of their situation and scenarios that have happened to them that they're not supposed to talk about, because they were taught that if you talk about it, everyone's going to know and you're going to be shamed. You know, everyone's going to shame you. You know, but you know what? That's a master manipulator, and don't listen to people like that. You need to talk about what has happened to you. And it may be very painful and tragic when you do, whether it's to your partner or anyone else, a good trusted friend. Don't do it to anyone randomly, but someone that you trust, okay? Sometimes it's a complete stranger, you know, and you end up trusting them and you just need to let it out. But you know what? That's fine too. But just be careful that you don't like go to work and start telling everyone about your business, because they'll go tell everyone else most likely about your business, and they'll play the telephone game and make it something that is not, and you'll be like, what? I didn't say any of that. Like, these people are crazy, which they are, but you know, people like to start drama. So don't be a drama starter. Don't be a liar. You know, speak your truth. Don't gossip. Go and explain to your partner what's taking place. Speak your truth. Explain what you need, want, desire, sexually, emotionally, intimately. And that way, you guys can continue your entire life understanding one another on a deeper level that only gets deeper. Does that make sense? It will always continue to get deeper and deeper and deeper. You think you got deep, and then 20 years later, it's like deep, deep. And then 30 years later, it's deeper than that. Does that make sense? Like, you guys would be inseparable. And understand that you need time apart sometimes as well. I think that's important. All right. Most people were taught not to discuss sex and sexual encounters with their partners. It is what it is. A lot of cultures, you know, the woman's supposed to be the submissive person, do whatever the man says. The man's supposed to dominate and explain what they're going to do and just do it. And your woman used to be property, so you just do whatever you did whenever you felt like it. Didn't mean that they liked it. Just because someone smiles and they have 5 kids doesn't mean they were happy when they had sex. You know what I mean? It means nothing. It means that they have 5 kids and that they had sex. They might have had sex 5 times in 5 years. That's all it took, you know, which isn't much. And they smiled in the picture, but that doesn't mean they were happy all the time. So my point is, it doesn't mean that each of them was satisfied either. I mean, obviously the male, you know, had their happy ending, but didn't mean that it was a great experience. Does that make sense? Like, somebody else could have mind blown them, and vice versa with the female. So my point is, at 20 years later, when everyone's divorced and no one discussed anything before, they could have discussed all this and kept their divorce from happening, is my point. This is important to understand, because these types of conversations can help save a marriage. People have got to get their egos out of their heads. Stop acting like they know everything, because they don't. Stop acting like you're too old to learn anything, or too old to do anything new, or too old you can't have sex anymore, or too old you can't look pretty anymore, you're too old you can't look handsome anymore, you're too old you can't, you know, work out anymore, you're too old. You're too old, you're too old, you're too old. Or your parents told you you can't do it. My friends told me I can't do it. So-and-so that I work with told me I can't do it. Those are all a bunch of BS excuses that everybody else made up in the world for you to listen to when you're supposed to not listen to that. Does that make sense? Stop listening to people that can't stand themselves in their lives, because they're not giving good advice. Does that make sense? Doesn't matter if they're married. You're going to take advice from someone that's married that can't stand themselves? Or they act like they're great, a great marriage, but they're cheating on their wives and are on Tinder? Both them and their wives on Tinder. Mike, are you serious? And they're like, we have a great marriage. No, you don't. And they're like talking about how they're sleeping with other people, and they put their wife's ring on their bed pillow while they're sleeping with someone else, and like, yeah, you're my wife. You know what I mean? People literally do this stuff and say stuff like this, and it's really sad and tragic and filthy, honestly. But what I'm explaining is, people are really upset in life, in their own lives. They project false happiness to others. And it behind closed doors. And then they try to make this big old persona like they're keeping up the Joneses when they're at work. And I'm like, come on, everyone. I'm like, just if everyone could just speak their truths in a tactful manner and respect each other, you guys would be able to handle the situations and not have to go through all this and not have to, you know, be two-faced or to anyone or your partner. Does that make sense? You really don't like your partner that much, then you shouldn't be there with them. And the money, people are staying with people because of their money. And I'm like, good Lord. It's a bad reason to stay with people. Everyone's like, I can't do it without him. I can't do it. No, you know what? You can do it, and you're choosing not to do it. and you're forcing yourself to stay in a negative situation until God's going to come up and smack you in the butt till you can't, till you, they force you to leave, or they force them to leave. And then you're in a worse situation because you're not prepared for it. Does that make sense? Stuff happens on purpose. You don't think so, but it is. Honestly, it's for the better. But if you don't have these types of conversations with your partner and you decide not to talk about sex with your partner and your intimacy with your partner and how to have deep conversations about what your needs, wants, and desires really are, how your partner feels, you know, how you want to feel. Can you make it better? Is it already mind-blowing or is it not? You know, like, if you don't know, then you can talk to other people and discuss that, not just your friends. Don't do that. But I'm saying, like sex therapists and Antler, look stuff up, you know what I mean? And discuss it with each other about what you'd like to try. And little by little, try different things. Don't just go hardcore immediately with people. That's not okay. All right. Take things slow. See how it goes. But communication is key to being happy. I've always said that on my website since day one. I'm going to leave it at that. Thanks for joining in with Love Talk with Kira. I hope you have a super fantastic day, night, or morning, depending on what country you're from. Don't forget to check out my analytics here on Spotify and also on my different social media platforms. I went ahead and posted them also. So you guys can see what people actually want to talk about. The sex with your partner was rated number one, and I wanted to go over this specifically because of that. Okay, I think having the conversation with them is just so crucial. If it's painful, it's painful. If it's not, it's not. You know, you guys need to say, yes, this feels good. No, this hurts. You know, on a 1 to 10 scale, you know, you can play the touch my body game and put some sexy music on or whatever your favorite tunes are, whatever you like to have sex or make love to, and, you know, get yourselves in the mood. Women like to be mentally stimulated, and, you know, massages are good. I know some women are like, oh, every time he massages me, he thinks I want to have sex, or he wants to have sex afterwards. I'm like, you know, women, that's a good thing. If your husband wants to have sex with you, you should be thankful and grateful, and you should probably have sex with him. You know, I mean, would you rather be with someone who thought you were a disgusting piece of trash? Because that's how you're treating it, the situation. And that's how it comes across to the man. You know, and so they're going to go find someone else that will. And if you think they won't, they will. Okay, whether it's emotional or physical, you're kind of making them do it because you're not on board with your own partner. Like, come on, everyone. Don't act like your partner is this horrible, like, piece of human being that you can't stand, all right? Having sex is part of being in a relationship, so you need to keep it going, period, period. Anyway, that's my story, and I'm sticking to it. Love you guys. Have a super fantastic day now in the morning, like I said, depending on what country you're from. We will talk more later this next month. Thanks for joining in with Love Talk with Kira. Happy holidays. Sending love and hugs. Night-night.